I'm getting a lot off my chest this week. I'm feeling good. I'm delivering myself. You know, I know people are under a lot of stress, and this is how I get rid of it. People want to know, Martin, how do you do it? You know, you put up with the apostasy, and everybody is against the truth nowadays. Evil's good, good is evil. This is my outlet. This microphone is empowering to me. I get to talk to you. I get to vent. I get to teach the truth out of the scriptures, and I get to expose, rebuke, and entreat. I get to let it all hang out on this show. I get to be myself. I get to be who God made me. I don't have to channel my thoughts through an institution. I don't have to ask the boss if it's okay if I teach on this today. I teach what God gives me to teach. And that's why you're listening. That's why you like this show. That's why I like you. That's why I like when you write me, because, again, I've said this before, but we are a freelance organism. The body of Christ is freelance. It grows in the growth of God. That's how I ended yesterday's show. I said, grow in the growth of God. And that's a verse. Naturally, I don't know where it is. It's in Paul's letters when he talks about the body. We're growing in accord with the growth of God. It's in that verse where he talks about, he compares the body of Christ to the human body with the ligaments and the joints and the way it articulates together as a whole. And we do. We articulate. If you're watching the studio cam, it happens like this. Dun, dun, you see that? That's articulation. That's what we do. Even though we're miles apart, we're digging it. We're with each other. Some of you watch this show while you're drinking coffee in the morning. So hello to you. I wish I were there drinking coffee with you. I'll look you in the eye and I'll tell you that because it's true. And some of you are listening to this show while you're driving. I've heard from you too. And you download it as an MP3, put it on your MP3 player in your car, or make a CD out of it, and bang, we're fellowshipping right now while you're flying down the road. It's amazing. And I'm sitting here alone in a room in Brazil, staring at a wall. Unbelievable. And yet, look at where we're connected, because it's freelance. It's genius. It breathes. You got to let things breathe, people. You can't smother things or people. You know, you find out every time you really, you try to smother something or you try to overprotect. You've heard of the overprotective parent. What happens? They raise screwed up kids, or the kids are so rebellious they want to get out of the house because you think you have to micromanage. I'll never forget, we had a boss when I worked at the post office. He was a micromanager. He'd always come out at 30 seconds until 8 o'clock and say, Zender, time to raise the flag. Put the flag up. Really? Wow, we're putting the flag up at 8 o'clock? We've only done that since 1914, since they built that post office, every day at 8 o'clock. Give the workers some credit. But no, this guy would stand by the coffee pot, monitor how many times he went to get coffee. They used to extend the supervisors. This is why some supervisors in the post office were shot. I don't recommend it, but this is why it happened. We had a supervisor. And his name was Mark Crumrine. I'll go ahead and say his name. We called him Crumnuts. His name was Crumrine, but we named him Crumnuts. He used to get a stool, and he used to sit behind the carriers and watch them. You know how it is when somebody's standing behind you, monitoring you, watching you work? It doesn't exactly fill you with love for that person, and you really don't want to do a good job for them, do you? This is the paradox, is the more liberated you feel, the more love you have for the person who's liberating you. That's why Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom Christ frees you. So what do you do when you're free? You want to serve the one who freed you. That's what grace does. Grace has power. Leave me the hell alone. And God says, I do, but I love you so much that I'm going to, quote, leave you alone. That's called grace. In other words, I'm not going to sit behind you like the law of Moses, like Crumnuts. I'm not going to be like Crumnuts and sit behind you and monitor everything you do. I did that during the law era to teach you a lesson that always breeds, it breeds resentment. It breeds hatred, and it actually increases the sin because, and Paul says that in Romans 5:20, the law came so that the transgressions would increase. And that's exactly what happened with these mail carriers who were having being scrutinized by Crumnuts. He would sit behind them. And they got so ticked off at this that they slowed down their pace. They looked in the postal manual and found out what the minimum was that they had to do. What's the minimum we have to produce? And so they would put the letters in the case at the minimum they had to do. Before that, they were working at a better rate. They were happy people. They were putting the mail up, whistling or whatever. But when Crumb Nuts started to, we have to increase production here, and we're going to do it by smothering you. We're going to do it by monitoring you. We're going to do it by micromanaging you. And it killed these guys. And they just went slower and slower and slower. And that's what happens with any institution, with any micromanagement technique. The body of Christ is not micromanaged. You've experienced, I know this, you've experienced the opposite of that in the religious institutions, and it killed you. You couldn't wait to get out of it. But what that did was set you up for the contrast of freedom in Christ. And the paradox is, jealous people can't believe this either. Jealous people want to possess other people, and so they think they have to protect them from other people, and they have to watch, who they talk to, and they do all this micromanagement, and it ends up a huge pot, a cauldron of resentment, and it actually does the opposite of the goal. Just like old Crumb Nuts, it's the opposite of what you want to happen. You want to up production, you just screwed production. Jealousy is the same thing. You want to increase love, you end up screwing love. And it's the same thing with institutions. You want to improve the education, you want to improve the behavior of the people, you saddle them with laws. No, it doesn't work. You put them through a mill, an education mill, where we have how many Bible studies have you been to when you're in the institution? They have these study guides, and everybody goes by rote. It's like the Beatles trying to write music by, you know, drawing notes on the piece of paper. And you go through this prefabricated program of education, and they tell you what you're supposed to learn there. That's not freelance. We're not like that. The body of Christ is breathing, living entity. And that's why I love it. That's why I can breathe. That's why I can be myself. That's why the truth flows out of me, because I let it. I have no, and this is a good truth for all of you too, I have no pressure on myself. As many of you know, I used to stutter when I was a kid, and stuttering is a form of performance anxiety. Many abilities in life are a result of overanalyzing yourself. And again, this is counterintuitive. It's paradoxical. You think that by concentrating on something very hard, you'll do better. But the opposite is true. By not thinking about it, by being less self-aware, you actually improve performance. And stuttering, when I was a kid, I didn't know this, but I researched it. It was a performance anxiety. You wanted to do, you wanted to speak the right thing, and so you couldn't say anything. It's the same with writer's block. Writer's block is a writer staring at a screen. I've experienced this. Some people are amazed at my output, but the reason I have any kind of output at all is because I figured out what writer's block was, and I figured out how to get rid of it. It's when you stare at a blank screen and you're trying to write the most brilliant sentence in the human language ever written. And so you think for 5 minutes about the first word, and you're so constipated verbally that nothing comes out because you're trying to overdo it. So what you do is just relax, and you just say whatever comes to your mind, and you figure, I'm going to edit later. I might have told you these things before, but they bear repeating. And I'm tying it into a new thing here. We talked about college dropouts yesterday. I recommended yesterday that you drop out of college. And we talked about Peter and John, and now we're talking about the body of Christ, which is articulated and grows in the growth of God. That's what pegged me onto this yesterday when I ended with grow in the growth of God. It was an epic ending, grow in the growth of God. And the show ended and you were like, oh my God. And so today I'm elaborating on it. And it's the Spirit that does this. Oh, very important too. I know I've talked to you about this before, but I think it was a year ago. You must be willing to make a fool of yourself and to fail miserably. You cannot be. This is going to help somebody today. This is why I have to say this. You can't be so self-aware and worried all the time that you're going to make a mistake and look like an idiot. The true freedom is to allow yourself to look like an idiot. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God calls the unwise, weak, ignoble, stupid. It's not that he calls these kind of people. It's that these kind of people who he makes this way are more apt to be freelancers and to accept the freelancing Jesus, who's wandering around the Sea of Galilee, paddling a boat across the Sea of Galilee, walking in the mountains, having a campfire with his disciples, and unfurling the secrets of the universe. The secret to that is to not worry about making mistakes, not worrying about making a fool of yourself. You have to be willing to do that. And I'm willing to do that. And I've sometimes done it. I get stuck and I go, what the heck was I talking about? I'll go to my Bible, don't know where a verse is. So what? So what? I realize that you're not coming here to hear me. You're coming here to hear what God would have to say through me. So that delivers me of all the pressure. So I don't have to sit here and be a genius. And by not trying to be a genius, I often am one. And it's amazing, isn't it? And so this is how it works. All right. Do I have time to go? Yeah, I'm sorry it's Thursday. Not really. And I haven't gotten into the unveiling really technically. But I'm not that sorry at all. The seal of God is where we left off, and in the closing minutes here, I'm going to go back to talk about the 144,000 being sealed. I said that we're sealed also, but our sealing is invisible. But at this time, these 144,000, I believe, are going to be visibly sealed. This is why. You know, the emblem of the beast is going to be written on the forehead or the hand, and I think that's going to be a literal mark, the mark of the beast. The concordance says emblem. And it's going to allow you to buy and sell if you have it, either the name of the beast or the number of the name of the beast or the mark of the beast, one of the three things. And it's going to be a visible sign. Likewise, since we're taking literal if possible, I believe that this the sealing on the forehead or the 144,000 is literal. It's going to be written there by spiritual means. They're not going to go to a tattoo shop. It's going to be spiritual means, and it's going to deliver them. For instance, here's an example. I'm going to leave you with this before I talk about the celibates of Israel, the 144,000. These locusts we know are going to come out of the submerged chaos. Haven't gotten there yet, but this is the scariest thing you're ever going to see. The fifth messenger trumpets, unveiling chapter 9, verse 1. I perceived a star falling out of heaven. To him was given the key of the well, the submerged chaos. I used to think that was somewhere in New Jersey, but I don't think so. I think it's in modern-day Iraq. And he opens the well, the submerged chaos, and fumes ascend out of the well as the smoke of a large furnace. And the sun and the air are darkened by the fumes of the well. And out of the fumes came out locusts into the earth. And license was granted them as the scorpions of the earth have license. And it was declared to them that they should not be injuring the grass of the earth. See, this goes back to Chapter 7, what we started last week. Not to injure the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, except those of mankind who have not the seal of God on their foreheads. So see, they have not the seal of God on their foreheads. But we know that the 144,000 do have the seal of God on their foreheads. And what does this remind you of? It reminds me of Egypt. There was a literal mark on the doorposts of blood that the death angel came by, and the death angel saw that mark and passed over your house, thus the Passover. Likewise, we're seeing an antitype of this in the unveiling, where the seal is a literal seal, and it's the passing over of a plague. And in this instance, the plague is the locust. Horrible thing, but for the 144,000 and the vast throng, the innumerable throng, these folks from Israel are going to be protected. These are not members of the nations. These are not Gentiles. These are Israelites. I'm going to prove that to you tomorrow and next week as we get into details. Finally, thank you. I'm getting a lot off my chest this week. I appreciate you giving me that liberty and freedom. I hope that's been beneficial to you. It sure has been to me. So tomorrow, the 144,000 sealed celibates from all 12 tribes, the great nation of Israel.